Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee tonight. Lord, we're thankful again for the privilege that's ours to come. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight You'll bless us. Lord, as we come to the gospel for tonight, we ask, O God, for a very particular sense of Thy presence. Lord, come upon us and amongst us tonight and pour out Your Holy Spirit. O God, we pray that this will be a meeting, Lord, like none other, when, Lord, the Spirit of God will descend. And Lord, there'll be, Lord, that challenge to the unconverted. Lord, that this night they might come to Christ. Answer prayer. Give us help in every part of this meeting. And through it all, may Thy name be honoured and glorified. Hear prayer now, for we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. 270 is our opening hymn, Down at the Cross Where My Saviour Died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. 270, we'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Unite our hearts together again, please, in word of prayer, and seek for God's help and for His presence. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God in heaven this evening, we thank Thee tonight for the cross. We praise Thee, Lord, tonight for that place where the Son of God died there in our place. He was our sacrifice. We thank Thee, O God, that there He made a full atonement for sin. We thank Thee, O God, tonight that there remaineth now no more sacrifice for sin. We praise Thee, Lord, that He completed the work that He came into this world to do. O Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight that there on the cross He cried, finished.
We praise Thee, O God, tonight that we need no other argument. Praise God, we need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, that He died for me. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You'll be pleased, Lord, to speak. Lord, we pray that tonight You'll make the cross work of Thy dear Son real to hearts. Lord, speak tonight, we pray, in a very clear and a very definite way. Lord, to those who are out of Christ, Lord, we pray that You'll bring them to the cross. For Lord, we thank Thee tonight that burdens are still lifted at Calvary. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You'll draw near. By Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, take control of this meeting. Brood over this place tonight, we pray. Oh God, we just pray for a real sense of Thy presence. We ask, O God, that tonight You'll come. And Lord, may the Spirit of God convict of sin. Lord, we pray that tonight You'll convict of judgment. Lord, convict, O God, we pray, of righteousness. And Lord, that this night You'll do a saving work in some heart. Lord, tonight perhaps those who have wandered and got away from Thee. O God, they're living, Lord, like the prodigal far from God. Lord, we pray that tonight You'll bring them back. Lord, we pray tonight that they might realize that there is a Heavenly Father who loves them. And Lord, who stands waiting to receive them. And Lord, we pray that tonight You'll bring, Lord, the wandering ones back to Thyself. Our Father, we pray tonight that You'll do that work in every heart that needs to be done. And Lord, through it all, may Thy name be honored and glorified. Lord, we look to Thee this evening. Our help is in Thee. Lord, we look not to ourselves or anything that we can do. But Lord, we look to Thee. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless the going forth of the gospel tonight across our land. O God, we cry unto Thee. Lord, move in our province, move in our nation. Lord, we see such darkness and departure all around us. And Lord, we need a move of God, the Holy Spirit. O God, come and revive us. Quicken us, O God, we pray. Lord, we pray that the Church of Jesus Christ will rise up, Lord, in these dark days. Lord, may our voice be heard against sin and, Lord, against all that is against Thee and Thy gospel. And our Father, we pray that tonight there will be rivers of blessing to swim in. Lord, that You'll defeat every plan. Lord, every scheme of the evil one. And Lord, that this night Thy name and Thy name alone will be honored and glorified. Lord, our hope is in Thee. And O Heavenly Father, we pray, do that which needs to be done. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless particularly here in Sandown tonight. Lord, we thank Thee for all who have been enabled to gather in the house of God. Lord, we pray that You'll draw near to us. Lord, cover this meeting house in the blood. Lord, drive back the forces of hell. Bind the strong man tonight. And Heavenly Father, we pray that there will be made in this place a highway for the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ. Bless Jonathan as he'd come, minister to us in song. May he know great help, Lord, as he would minister to us. Lord, the pieces that You've given to him, Lord, enable him and just be with him tonight. And Lord, bless him in his ministry. And Lord, we pray that You'll bless around the Word of God. And Lord, we pray that tonight, whether here in the building or those listening online, we pray, Lord, tonight for souls to be saved. Lord, for sinners to be snatched as a brand from hell. And Lord, that this night, Lord, they'll be rejoicing over sinners coming to the cross. Lord, we pray tonight for those who cannot gather with us. We ask, O God, that You'll draw near to those tonight who are unwell. Minister to them. Lord, strengthen them in their own bodies at this time. And Lord, we pray tonight for those who are carrying heavy burdens. Lord, weighed down with the cares, Lord, of this old world. Lord, draw alongside to such be the lifter up of their heads tonight, we pray. And so, our Father, we look to Thee. Do our hearts good. Just be with us now. And Lord, we pray that we might leave this place knowing that it was good for us to be here. Come and meet with us tonight. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We are delighted to welcome back to Sandown again this evening my good friend. I called him the last time we had a meeting together, my old friend, and I got told off for it. So I'll not do that tonight. Jonathan, we're glad to have you, and Naomi, and glad to have all your family with you as well tonight. You're very, very welcome back in Sandown, and we're going to ask you to come and minister to us again. Lord bless you. Thank you.
fear my faith will fail. Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me. He will hold me fast, he will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast, precious in his holy sight. He will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, he will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. My life he bled and died. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned aside, when he comes at last, he will hold me fast, he will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. Hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast.
I thank our brother, your minister, Evan Wilson, for the kind words of welcome. It's lovely to be back here as a family to sing. As I always say, I'll enjoy it when it comes to the preaching, because you're standing here like a nervous wreck, but it is nice to be here. Quite often at home, when I'm doing some ironing or something like that there, I see newbies rolling their eyes. I'm doing some chores about the house. I would often tune into some of your services on YouTube and maybe a Thursday night and listen to your brother preach. And I know this song's a favourite of your own, "Yet Not I, But Christ Through Me." So I'm sure you've sung it out quite a lot. But it is a lovely piece, lovely words, and I trust these words will be a blessing to your heart tonight. And if you feel like joining in, feel free, sing away.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my thy steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled, and He suffered for my pardon. And He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home, and day by day, I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Jonathan, thank you very much indeed for those lovely messages and song. Again, sung so well. And yes, that is a theme tune of ours here in Sandown. Of course, a theme tune of every Christian. Not what we have done, but all through what Christ has done for us. Thank you. We'll hear from you in just a wee moment's time. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 7, please. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. We're going to read from the verse 13 down to the end of verse 23. Matthew 7, verse 13. These are very solemn words, very solemn passage of Scripture that we're reading tonight. And we want to look at the subject of the exposure of false professors and what the Lord says about such. But let's read, first of all, from verse 13, Matthew chapter 7, and the verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts tonight. We want to welcome you all along to our gospel service this evening. We're glad to see you in the house of God. And to you all, to those who are visiting as well, we welcome you. And we trust that you feel the warmth of the welcome here. We're glad to see you all tonight in the house of God. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well tonight. Can I just run through some announcements at this stage before Jonathan comes and sings for us again? Remember, on Tuesday morning, our outreach continues, a meeting here at the church at 10 a.m. Then the Explorers Club, Tuesday night at 7 p.m. here in the church. Also, members of our committee, elders and deacons, will have a full committee meeting on Tuesday night at 8, God willing. Then Thursday night is our Bible study and our prayer meeting. As we said this morning, we want to look this Thursday night at the subject of Reformation or revival. What is the greatest need of the church today? Is it Reformation or is it revival? And we want to look at that subject. So I trust you'll come join with us on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. We will also have the Lord's table after the meeting on Thursday night and be able to receive in some new members as well. Then on Friday night is our youth fellowship here in the church and up in the back room, and our brother Billy will be along to speak and to instruct the young people concerning making the right decisions in their life. So I trust you'll come, young people, be with us on Friday night at 8. Then our services next Lord's Day, 10:15, Sunday School and Bible class, morning worship service. Our brother Stephen Crawford, one of our students, will be here to speak. I'll be over in Donaghadee next Sunday morning preaching. Then in the afternoon, we have our Hollywood Sunday School, and I'll be back to preach in the evening at 6:30. And our brother Jonathan Mitchell will be here to sing. Do remember those who need our prayers. I continue to remember our brother Tom and also Sylvia Cade in your prayers, and others as well who are not well at this time. Pray the Lord will draw near to them. So today is the last opportunity for you to bring in your shoeboxes for all the items for Portugal. And our brother Ronnie McCracken, not Ronnie Whiteside. Somebody thought Ronnie Whiteside was going to Portugal to deliver all the shoeboxes. Well, I'm sure there might be room in the van for you, Ronnie, if you would like to go. But Ronnie McCracken, who was here a few weeks back, he will be taking those shoeboxes over to Portugal. He'll be leaving in a week's time. And we want to thank you for your kindness and your generosity and the many, many items that have been brought in. So thank you for that. If we could get just a few helping hands just to bring the items down from the kitchen upstairs down to the front door. Ronnie's coming tomorrow evening in the van to pick everything up. So if you could help with that just for a moment afterwards tonight, that would be greatly appreciated. I omitted to announce the missionary offerings for this month. My apologies for not doing that this morning. Missionary Council offering £155, the Trinitarian Bible Society offering £464, and money in the Missionary Council box of boxes of £960. That brought a total of £1,528.60. And thank you for your giving to the Lord's work. Also, in relation to the Missionary Council, the calendars for next year are available, and these are available for you. Take them with you and use them to remember to pray for all of the missionaries that are listed there on the back. I'm going to ask Jonathan if he'd come just again at the stage and sing for us now. Thank you.
Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken what meaneth the sudden call. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? Will you evade him as Pilate tried, or will you choose him whate'er betide? Vainly you struggle from him to hide. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Oh, what will he do with me? Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way. Gladly obeying thee, will you say, this will I do with Jesus, this will I do with him. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Oh, what will he do with me? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? What will he do with me? What will you do with him?
Again, our thanks to Johnny tonight for coming and ministering to us. What a challenge. And tonight, what will you do with Jesus? Many things in life you can be neutral upon, decide not to take any opinion on if you wish. This is one thing you can never be neutral on. You're either for Christ or against Him. And we pray that the Lord would speak, even as God's servant has been ministering to us in song, that tonight you would come. Realize if you don't know Christ, you come to Him tonight and make that decision for Christ. I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Again, we appreciate Johnny's help tonight. Thank you for coming. Pray the Lord continues to bless you. He's got the glasses out. I tell you, he is my old friend. You've got the glasses too, Billy, but you've always had the glasses. But anyway, shouldn't make fun of people with glasses, not right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What solemn words. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Perhaps just to change your position, you could stand with me, please, for a word of prayer before we come to His word for tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for a sense of Thy presence already with us. We thank the Lord for help given to Johnny as he's ministered to us in song. Lord, we thank Thee tonight for those who have come to Christ. For those tonight who can say, yet not I, but Christ in me. But, O God, we pray tonight for those who are still out of Christ. And Lord, tonight those who are far from Thee. Oh God, we pray tonight that You'll be pleased to give deciding grace. And Lord, tonight that You'll open eyes, open hearts. And tonight those who are halting between two opinions, Lord, that they tonight might come to Christ. Give us help now to preach as we must and as we should. Lord, we dare not do this of ourselves. Empty us of self. Fill us with the Holy Ghost and fill us with power. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How can you tell the difference between the fake and the true? How can you tell the difference between the genuine and the counterfeit? Now, very often it is very hard to tell the difference between what is actually true and what is a fake. And that goes for anything you care to mention in the temporal material world around us. But you see, what is true in the temporal is also true in the spiritual. Because it can be very difficult to discern between the true believer and the false professor. One of the most sobering parables that our Lord spoke while He was on this earth was the parable of the wheat and the tares. The tares, essentially the weeds which resemble the wheat and look like the wheat, and they grew alongside the wheat. And it is hard to tell the difference. That is, until a time of harvest, when the two will be separated. The teaching of that parable is that it is very difficult to our eyes to tell and to discern the difference between the saved and the unsaved. In this church tonight, there are the wheat, those saved by the grace of God. But also sitting in this church this evening, I have no doubt, there are those who are unsaved and unprepared. And the reality is, it is very hard to tell the difference. Because we look the same.
might say Amen at the same time, sing the same songs, but there is such a difference. The saved are prepared, ready. The unsaved are unprepared and not ready. You see, tonight in this meeting, you are bound either for heaven or bound for hell. The true professors have salvation, but the false professors have no salvation. And in these verses in Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23, which form the concluding part of Christ's Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is warning against such false professions. He brings his listeners to the day of judgment and the awful calamity that would befall those who falsely profess Christ. And he very graphically, he very powerfully depicts the events of the day of judgment for those who have professed Christianity by mere lip service but have never possessed Christ as their Savior. And here in these three verses we see how the Lord once and for all exposes and unmasks these false professors. Their life of deception is laid bare, and they are exposed for what they are, false professors with no salvation. And you see, the Lord gives us this warning tonight, here in Matthew 7, in order to warn those who are false professors without any reality of salvation. First thing I want us to notice here about this exposure is the proclamation. The proclamation that shocked them. Verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What a proclamation, what a shocking statement. And I trust tonight, if you're here in this place without Christ, perhaps with all the trappings of Christianity, I trust tonight you will listen. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Because not every one that professes Christ actually possesses Christ. A mere profession, a mere assent to the Word of God, an agreeableness to the teachings of Scripture, an association, yes, with religion, an attendance at a gospel preaching church, those things, while good, are not enough. If you've all the trappings of religion, but you do not have the Redeemer, then your life is a sham. An outward show, but no inward work. An empty profession of faith with nothing of salvation. As we think of this proclamation, I want you to see here the recognition that's expressed in it. Lord, Lord, verse 21. Lord, Lord. You see, these false professors acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. They recognize Christ to be Lord of all. Their acknowledgement of Christ was very orthodox. It was entirely accurate. These are not atheists. These are not those who deny the existence of God. They know who Christ is. But just because they've recognized and they've given mental assent to Christ as Lord of Lords, it does not follow on that they have received Christ as their Savior. You see, tonight many, many will acknowledge that Christ is Lord, realize that God is God, but that does not necessarily follow on such a one is saved. Remember what James writes in his little epistle. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. The devils also believe that there is a God, but they're damned, they're lost. The very agents of hell realize who God is, but they are not saved, they are damned. And so here, the Lord is speaking about a people who by their speech and by their words appear to be saved, appear to be Christians, but the reality is they only pay lip service to Christ. And on that day, that awful day of judgment for them, their hearts will be revealed. Maybe this evening you sit here in this gospel meeting. You've all the trappings of Christianity, brought up in a good home, brought up in a godly home. You know the gospel. You know who Jesus Christ is. You know that Christ is your only hope. You know there's only one way to heaven. But listen, have you ever been saved? Is there a moment that you can look back to and say it was at that time? Are you just like these false professors saying, Lord, Lord, just going on with the whole show of religion? There's the recognition here in this proclamation, but notice as well there's a condition that is stipulated in this proclamation. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's the stipulation, there's the condition. How can any man enter into heaven by simply saying, Lord, Lord? No. By doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. Does that mean all people are saved by good works? No. All people are saved by doing the Father's will. And what is God's will in the gospel? Well, it stipulates certain things. Because we read in 2 Peter 3:9, that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance. That's the will of God for you tonight. To repent. To turn from your sin. That's one of those words that has fallen out of the vocabulary of the evangelical church tonight. If you're ever going to be saved, you need to realize you are a sinner. You need to turn from that sin. You need to abandon that sin. You need to forsake that sin. You need to be done with that sin. There is to be a repentance. Tell me, has there ever been a time and you've realized just the awfulness of your sin, cried unto God for salvation? There is to be repentance. That's part of the will of God for you. But there is also to be a reliance. In John 6:40, Christ speaking, he says, this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which has seen the Father and believeth on him may have everlasting life. There must be a turning from sin, but there must be a trusting of Christ to save you. Therefore, you see, tonight to enter heaven, a verbal profession is not enough. There must be a work done in the heart whereby you turn from your sin and you trust Christ to be your Savior. And then you follow on to live out and to work out your salvation. As verse 20 says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Let me ask you tonight, what is it? What is it that you are depending upon for salvation? Is it your upbringing? Is it your good life, good home, good standing? A form and an adherence to religion and to Christianity. But listen, that will not be enough. It will not be enough before God in the day of judgment to claim all those good things that you did in your life if you've never turned from your sin, if you've never repented of your sin, if you've never turned to Jesus Christ. Proclamation that shocked. Oh, I pray tonight, if you're here without Christ and just sailing on through life as if everything is all right, that tonight you would stop and listen to the words of Christ, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in to the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever entered into that personal saving relationship with Christ? You see it tonight. Not depending on a church, not depending on a creed, but depending alone on Christ. There's the proclamation that shocked them. But as we come into verse 22, I want us to see secondly now the practices that deceived them. The practices that deceived them. In verse 22, we see the Lord's account of the various actions or activities of the false professor. And these are the things that they would plead as a means of entering into heaven. They would come to the Lord and they would present the Lord with their good works that they have been believing were enough. Look at verse 22. The Lord says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, here they are again. Lord, Lord. They still recognize Him as Savior, that yet in this instance they repeat this title. And they display such a sense of desperation, as a sense of great urgency, a feeling of amazement. Lord, Lord, you couldn't turn me away from heaven, could you? And almost in a desperate plea for their life. And they seek to flatter God. Flatter God with their great piety. Flatter God with their words. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? Three times, in thy name, in thy name. In other words, Lord, do you not know what I have done for you? Do you not know who I am? See, these practices deceived them. And they were going to damn them. As we think of the practices, notice the words. Verse 22, have we not prophesied in thy name? Here they appeal to the Lord with great confidence, with their grand words, their great speeches, their great messages. Lord, have we not preached in thy name? Uttered many great words in thy name. Surely you must remember all that I've done for you. Now, while prophecy can mean to tell forth the truth of God's word and to proclaim it, and in this context, it does not mean to predict future events, but it actually means to speak words about the gospel. Grand predictions, great stories, but empty words. There are examples of Scripture of those who prophesied, who preached, spoke the word of God, but they weren't saved. In Numbers 23, the Lord put a word into Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, thus shalt thou speak. But Balaam wasn't saved. Because later on in the book of Numbers we read how Balaam was counted amongst the enemies of God. Yet God gave him a word. Peter records of Balaam that he had forsaken the right way and gone his way. Loved the wages of righteousness. You see, just because God put a word in his mouth, it didn't follow that he was saved. And you might come across so holy and so sanctimonious with all your grand words, but with a heart far from God. Matthew Henry said, a man may be a preacher, have great gifts for the ministry and external call to it, and perhaps some success in it, yet be a wicked man. May even help others to heaven, but fall short of it himself. See, just because you say the right things doesn't mean that you have a heart that's saved. Their words deceive them. Notice as well, their works deceive them. Verse 22 goes on and say, "And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." They not only appeal to their words, but now they appeal to their works. What they have done. "In thy name have cast out. In thy name have done many wonderful works." They miss the whole theme of the gospel. "I'll not be in heaven because of anything I have done. You'll not be in heaven because of anything you have done. You'll only be in heaven because of what Christ has done for you." But these people thought that by what they could do, they could merit salvation. It's all about doing. They maybe were Arminians, dear, help them if they were. And they thought, "Well, if I can do just enough works, that'll get me some level of holiness, get me into heaven." No. No. Their hope for heaven was in what they did. Listen, your hope for heaven is in what Christ did, not what you did. And if you think you've done great things in your life for the Lord, and you think that'll be enough, you're in for a rude awakening. Once again, we see from the record of God's Word that even the ungodly, the unconverted can do great things for God. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, we read, "The Lord gave them," that's the 12 disciples, "power against unclean spirits to cast them out." And on down in Matthew chapter 10, then he lists the disciples. Who was amongst them? Judas Iscariot. Where's Judas Iscariot tonight? He's lost in hell. Given power like the others, but never saved. Never a moment when he trusted Christ, being a deceiver all of his life. You can be deceived into thinking that all you are doing is enough to save you. And you can deceive and you can fool others around you. But listen, you'll never fool the Lord. A person might be sincere in their works, but they can also be sincerely wrong. Is that all you have tonight? What I have done? No, Satan is telling you tonight, hold on for dear life to your works and attempt to keep you from being saved. Let go of those works tonight. Let Christ into your heart. You're not saved by who you are or what you have done. You're only saved by who Christ is and what Christ has done. "He who is the Son of God became the Son of Man, came into this earth in the incarnation, walked this earth." And you know, his life is just as important as his death. He kept every precept of the law of God while he walked on this earth. And on the cross he paid the penalty for the broken law of God. That's why he provides a perfect righteousness, and that's why he tonight is the only way to heaven. Don't be deceived into thinking that your grand words and your good works will be enough. They won't. Oh, that tonight, by the Holy Spirit, God would open your eyes to see how you are before him. And if tonight all you have to depend on is what you have done, what you are, and tonight you look away to Christ who has made that full sacrifice for you. There's the proclamation, shocked them.
There's the practices that deceived them, but finally, as we close in verse 23, I want you to see now the pronouncement that sentenced them. The pronouncement that sentenced them. Verse 23 are some of the most solemn and sobering words in the Word of God. Here is the judge of all the earth doing right. And no man, no woman can claim to be unfairly treated by the just judge of all the earth. There are no miscarriages of justice in God's courtroom. Verse 23 says, then will I profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's the Savior's sentencing pronouncement on those who had nothing but a false, empty profession. Never trusted Christ. Oh, they had the outward show. They had a head knowledge of the Bible. Yea, they could probably quote the Bible. But they had no personal saving faith in the Christ of the Bible. Verse 23, I never knew you. They were strangers. Doesn't mean that God didn't know all about them, for He knows all things. He searches every heart. Tonight He knows exactly how you stand before Him. This is not an intellectual knowledge that is being talked about here. This is a saving relationship knowledge. These false professors had no saving relationship with Christ. They knew all there was to know about Christ, but they never knew Him as their Savior. They never abandoned their sin. And they never asked Christ into their heart. And so He says, I never knew you. They were strangers to grace and strangers to God. I never knew you. Not only were they strangers, but notice as well, they were separated. Verse 23. Depart from me. What words? It implies a separation from which there is no return. No way back. Separated forever and finally on the day of judgment, cut off from God, no opportunity now to get saved, no second chance, no hope beyond the grave. The throne of judgment is a throne of justice, not a throne of mercy. Oh, some will say, I'll think about those things on that day, and so you will, so you will. The error of your sin and the error of your false life will be exposed, but then it'll be too late. In verse 22, they've already pleaded to the Lord for mercy. But you see, in the day of judgment, mercy is gone. Mercy's past. The opportunity for you to get right with God is now, not then. Well, these people expected to hear the Lord welcome them to heaven. Rather, He hears them damn their souls to hell. Depart from me. The last word. As the unsaved, the false professors are damned to a Christless hell, is that word depart. And I don't know, but perhaps in the caverns of the damned in a lost eternity, in hell for all eternity, that word ringing from the mouth of God, from the lips of God, depart, depart, will ring on. Sinner is sentenced. You're cut off. And you're separated. Maybe everybody thinks tonight you're saved. Maybe everybody thinks tonight as well with your soul. But tonight the Lord knows how you stand before Him. Don't be deceived. Better you get saved tonight. Better you put these things right tonight. And wait until the day of judgment when He will expose your false profession. But then it'll be too late. Too late. Then will I profess unto them. After they have pleaded, after they have talked, after they have brought to the Lord all their arguments, then the Lord will have the last word. Then will I profess, I never knew you. Are you ready to meet God tonight? Do you see it? Are you sure tonight that it's well with your soul? Are you? If tonight you've been trying to hide behind some cloak of religion, an outward show, but you know things are not right in your heart, why not come tonight and make them right? Why not tonight be done with the sham that you're living and come to Christ? The Lord speaking to you, the Holy Spirit striving with you, then come. Don't put it off. Come tonight and receive Jesus Christ. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And then will I say, I never knew you. Tonight the Savior says, come. But on that day, if you stand before Him in your sin, He'll say, depart. Will you come tonight? Before it is too late. Let's bow in prayer. And as we close, before we sing our final hymn, I wonder tonight, has the Lord been speaking to you, challenging you about things in your life that are not right? And the Lord has exposed you tonight, though not before others, but before Him. The Spirit has been working in grace and mercy. Then tonight, heed that call. Don't cover your life anymore. Don't live that second life, that double life. Come tonight to Christ. Get right with Him. If we can help you in any way, then do speak with us. Make that need known to us. We'd only be too happy to spend time with you tonight. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you would be pleased to take thy word and speak to all of our hearts. Lord, tonight, to those who are out of Christ, far from thee, Lord, do a work in their heart, do a work in their life. Oh God, tonight, come. Lord, for those tonight who are depending on some empty profession of faith, no reality of salvation in their life, no joy, no happiness, no contentment. Oh God, we pray that tonight, by thy grace, you'll bring them to thyself. Answer prayer for us. And speak on now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. We'll close with the singing of the words of the hymn 227, Is There a Heart That Is Wailing? Longing for pardon today, hear the glad message proclaiming Jesus is passing this way. We'll stand together as we sing this final hymn, please.
Thank you.
Standing for prayer, and again we issue the invitation. If you'd like to speak, matters you want to put right, come and speak with us this evening. Make sure tonight you're saved, and make sure tonight you're ready. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you be pleased to apply the word now by the Spirit of God. And God, we pray that tonight you'll give that grace that is needed. Take up our thanks for thy presence with us. And Lord, we pray that tonight as we leave, may thy presence rest, remain, and abide upon us. And Lord, we pray that this night a heart, a life will be saved, transformed, taken from the darkness and the deception of their sin, and brought to Christ. Answer prayer for us. Go with us now. And Lord, as we travel home, may your hand continue to be upon us. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen.